Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us. Open our hearts to you. In your name we pray. Amen. This is a proverbial story, or at least I hope it is. After work on a Friday, a man, rather than going home, decided that he wanted to go hunting with the boys for the whole weekend. And he told his wife that he was going, and she had said, please don't go, but he went anyway. When he came home Sunday evening, he was confronted by a furious wife who tore into him one side and then down the other. And she ended it with, how would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days? And the man, not maybe as smart as he should have been, said, that would be fine with me. So Monday came and went, and he didn't see his wife. Tuesday came and went, he didn't see his wife. Wednesday came and went, and he didn't see his wife. Finally, on Thursday, the swelling went down just enough so that he could see out of the corner of his eye and see his wife. Seriously, if the story was true, it would not be funny at all. But it does humorously illustrate how you and I can hurt each other. Sometimes seriously. Even the ones we love, sometimes they hurt us and we hurt them. During this Lenten season, we've been talking about how certain things weigh us down, burdens that we carry that we don't need to carry, but they weigh us down and they cause us difficulty when we try to run our race for the Lord. Today, let's talk about hurts. And one's hurts can certainly weigh a person down, amen? And of course, we've all been hurt. We all know how it feels. When someone wounds us, especially if it's someone we love, it feels like they're crushing our heart. Hurts. Other times, it's not the big dramatic thing. It's the number of small things. And so we feel like we're dying not from one big wound, but from 1,000 cuts. Either way, what does our hurt do? It hurts. It hurts. Bad. So listen to a few of the things that David said when he was hurt or about to be hurt. And how deep is his woundedness. Psalm 70, verse 2. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. And then 71:13, may my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. And perhaps the most strongest one of all, Psalm 69:27-28. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. I'm not saying that we should wish what David wished in these verses upon those who hurt us. I'm not saying that. But when certain people hurt us, we often find ourselves feeling a little bit like David, don't we? We might not admit it. We might not even recognize it within ourselves. But sometimes when we're hurt, we want God to do what? To smite those who hurt us. To let them reap a little bit of the pain that they caused us. Or to reap a little bit of what they have sown. The point is this, when we hurt, the wound can run very deep. It doesn't always, but it can. It can run very deep indeed. And then, of course, when we are hurt, what do we tend to do? How do we tend to handle our hurt apart from Christ? Or how does the world tend to handle its hurt? Well, sometimes we strike back. That's one of the ways we sometimes handle our hurt. We strike back. A five-year-old and another five-year-old, the one five-year-old calls the other five-year-old a dumbhead. What does the second five-year-old do? Well, you're a double dumbhead. Strikes back, right? Sometimes we wallow in our hurt. We let it immobilize us. We can't even get past it. We just lock up. Sometimes we nurse the hurt. We play the injury over and over and over and over and over in our mind until it's twice the size it was when we first started. Sometimes we play the martyr. We want everyone to know how much we're suffering because of what someone did to us. And of course, sometimes we just shut down. Don't want to be hurt again. So we shut ourselves down. We lock our heart up where no one can touch us again and hurt us again. Do you see how hurt can hinder us from running the race that God has set before us? So how do we deal with our hurt in a God-honoring manner? How do we free ourselves from that dead weight of our hurt? Let me suggest five things we can do. It's not comprehensive. There are other things we can do as well. And also, let me be clear. I'm not talking about how do we stop someone from hurting us before they hurt us. I'm talking about how do we respond once we are hurt. So how do we free ourselves from that dead weight? Again, let me suggest five ways. The first way, whenever someone hurts us, we should own up to our part of it. Whenever someone hurts us, we should own up to our own part of it. Jesus said in Matthew 7:3, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Whenever someone hurts us, no matter how hurt we are, it's very rare that the other person was 100% at fault. They might be 90% at fault, I might be 10%. They might be 80% at fault, I might be 20%. Sometimes it's kind of a 50-50 thing, but it's almost never 100% that person's fault and not my fault at all. And then sometimes, if I'm honest, it's 80% my fault when I'm hurt and only 20% of the other person's fault. But it's easy to see what they did, isn't it? And not see our part in it. It's easy to see, as Jesus said, the speck in their eye, or the branch in their eye, or the log in their eye, and easy not to see the speck in our eye, or the branch in our eye, or even the log in our eye. And so when we are hurt, the first thing we need to do is examine ourselves. What part did we play? And confess it to ourselves at the very least, and confess it to the Lord as well. It doesn't necessarily make the pain go away, but it makes it manageable. It's like letting out some of the air in a balloon that's about to burst. So when we are hurt, the first thing we should do is own up to our own part in it. Number two, the second thing, whenever someone hurts us and it really bothers us and we can't seem to let it go, if we've owned up to our own part of it, we should then go talk to the other person. I know that for many of you, that's duh, of course. Why would you even say something so obvious? But not everybody finds it very easy to confront someone else. We were not raised that way. I was not raised that way. And so when I went to college and I roomed with my best friend, and we had a blast together, and we talked about all kinds of things, and we were close. But he was kind of a pig, and he had his dirty clothes all over the room, and meaning my side as well as his, and under my bed, and so on and so forth. And it bothered me. It took me 2 weeks to work up the nerve to talk to him about it. 2 weeks, my best friend. We were not raised that way. And then when I talked to him about it, he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And after that, he never once had any dirty clothes on my side of the room. Amazing. If you talk to somebody, it can often clear things up. What a novel idea. We were not raised that way. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Go and talk to him. And do this between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you have gained a brother." What did Jesus tell us to do when someone hurts us? Stew in our juices? Play the martyr? Nurse our hurt? No, he says, go and talk to the other person. And often that will clear all kinds of things up. And when we do that, Jesus says, we often gain our brother. If we don't, there's a good chance our relationship with the person who hurt us will suffer. So that's number two. Number three, whenever someone hurts us, again, nothing profound, we can take it to the Lord. We can take our pain, our hurt to the Lord. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We can cast all of our hurt, all of our pain onto Jesus. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares for us. When a friend of yours or a family member of yours comes to you and they're hurting, you care. You care about what's going on in their life. You care about what they're going through. You care about how they feel. God's the same way. When his children comes to him in pain, he cares. He cares about us, what's going on in our life, what we're feeling, our pain. He cares. He cares. I've said this before and I'll keep on saying it, but the older I get, the simpler my faith gets. The more I walk with the Lord, the simpler my faith gets and my prayers. And so now when I'm hurting, I go to the Lord. No fancy speeches, no great theology. I just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I hurt. That's it. Nothing fancy. And when I really hurt, not just hurt, but really hurt, then I go to my Abba Father and I just say, ouch. Ouch. And then when I really, really hurt, I go to my Lord and I don't say anything. I just hurt in his presence. It's like when that little child climbs up onto his mama's lap and he's hurting so bad he can't even put it into words, but he just needs his mom to hug him and hold him. If there's one thing I definitely know, it's this: God does care for us. Beyond anything that we can even imagine, he cares for us, for you and me. So the third way, we take our pain to the Lord. Number four, when we are hurt, after we have taken our pain to the Lord, we leave it with him. Often we want to tell God how to handle the situation. Or we want to look over his shoulder to watch and see if he is handling the situation or handling it right. Guess what? God doesn't need our help, does he? Doesn't need our advice. He doesn't need us to check in to see if he's doing okay. He can manage. In Romans 11, 33 through 34, it says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. How unscrutable his ways. We can't even begin to understand his ways. He reveals some of it to us, but most of what he's doing, beyond our comprehension. And then it goes on to say, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given God any advice that he needed? When God created the world, did he ask for anybody's advice? Did he need anybody's advice? He didn't, obviously. So just as a reminder, you don't need to tell God to work in so-and-so's life so that he or she stops doing what they are doing to you. You don't need to tell him that. That's his business. You don't need to watch and see if God makes a co-worker reap what he has sown when he or she lies about you. That's his business. And you don't need to tell God that so-and-so ought to feel sorry for what they have done. That's his business. And again, you don't need to look over his shoulder to see if he's actually doing something about whatever you brought to him. That's his business. So let it go. Just let it go. After you've taken it to him, let it go. I think I probably told this story before, but after the Civil War, when Robert E. Lee was visiting a matriarch in Kentucky. The lady showed Lee this old wonderful tree that had been, you know, hundreds of years, and it had been blown apart by Yankee artillery. So it was jagged, it wasn't beautiful anymore, it was ugly. And she was telling Lee what the blasted Yankees had done and look at the damage, and on and on and on. And she went on for quite a while, obviously expecting Lee to empathize with her and probably be angry with the blasted Yankees as well. And when she was finally done and there was a moment of silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, ma'am, and forget it. Cut it down and forget it. When you are hurt and you give that hurt to the Lord, let it go, and then move on. Cut it down and forget it." And five, when someone hurts us, we need to forgive them. How many times? 1, 2, 3, 7 times, as the disciples asked. Matthew 8:22 in the ESV, it says, Jesus said to them, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times," or many of the other versions say 70 times 7. Either way, what Jesus was saying is every time they hurt you, forgive. No matter how many times they sin against you, forgive. Can we do this? There are times when people hurt us so badly. Can we honestly forgive people every time they hurt us? By ourselves? No. In Christ? Yes, obviously. The same God who forgives us each time we sin is in us. And since he's in us, since he forgives us each time we sin, we are able to forgive others each time they sin. And if you want to talk about a deep hurt, the soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross. And even as they were nailing him to the cross, he forgave them. The same Jesus who was hurt deeply by those soldiers and forgave them is in us. He's inside of us. And in him, we can forgive. It's something we choose to do in Christ. It's as simple as saying in our own mind, "In Christ, I choose to forgive. By God's mercy, I do forgive." It's sometimes as simple as that. Now, let me make a distinction. Sometimes people equate forgiving with not hurting. That couldn't be further from the truth. If you stab me with a knife, in Christ I can forgive you instantly. I could forgive you for the wrong that you did against me. Will that then immediately stop the bleeding? Of course not. I have forgiven you, but I'm still bleeding. I have forgiven you, but I'm still wounded. And so sometimes even when we forgive someone, it still hurts. We're still wounded. So forgiving is not the same as not hurting. So you stab me, I forgive you, done. But it takes a while for the bleeding to stop. So the first is a choice I make. The second is a process that takes some time. And now this is what's important. Even though we don't always stop bleeding as soon as we forgive, we never stop bleeding unless we do forgive. If we don't forgive, the wound just turns inward. My hurt becomes bitterness, hardness, apathy, and so on. May not be visible anymore. I may not even know it's there, but it's there. I'm just bleeding in a different way. And so if I don't forgive, I will never, ever stop bleeding. And so when we forgive, we not only free the other person from their load, we free ourselves from our own load. So to reiterate, whenever someone hurts us, if we do not want to carry that hurt with us, We want to run the race that God has set before us. Then one, we ought to own our own part of it. Two, we ought to talk to the other person. Three, we take our pain to the Lord. And fourth, we leave it with him. And five, we forgive. In Christ, we are free. We don't have to carry these burdens. We can let them go. He is the vine, we are the branches. In him, we can do all things, whatever he's called us to do, including forgiving. As a society, we don't get this. We have moved so far away from understanding this is not even funny. You guys were like me. When I grew up and I'd come home, kindergarten, the harsh world out there, and I'd come home and I'd tell mom that one of my classmates called me a name, and it hurt. What did your mom tell you? Same thing my mom told me. Bob, it's going to happen. That's life. You have to learn how to deal with it. Basically, she was saying, grow up. Nowadays in our society, we have college students who, if you disagree with what they believe, not call them names, if you just disagree with what they believe, they have to run to their cry room. Because they don't know how to handle the hurt of you disagreeing with them. See how far we have come? When my brother and I wanted to play baseball, we'd call a couple of our neighbors and have them come down. And sometimes our neighbors wanted to play football instead. We were into baseball, they were into football. And then, you know, we'd have to go back and forth about what we're going to play. And you know what? My mom, I don't know about her, she never had a cry room that we could flee to when my neighbors disagreed about what we were going to play. How horrible is that? People in our society really honestly need to learn how to pull up their big boy and big girl panties, amen? They don't have a clue about how to deal with hurt. With that said, on the other hand, sometimes we are wounded truly and deeply. It's no joke. Sometimes we are cut to the core and we bleed all over the place. And when that happens, we find it difficult to put one foot in front of the other, let alone run the race that God has set before us. And I don't want to minimize that pain, but it's like what Eleanor Roosevelt said about fear. No one can immobilize you without your consent. You are free in Christ. You don't have to let that weight weigh you down. Again, own up to your own part. Talk to the other person. Take your pain to the Lord and leave it with him. And forgive. Forgive. And then put one foot in front of the other. We have a race to run. There's work to be done. More times than not, we find healing along the way. And God loves you too much to leave you hanging. If there's someone hurt here today, God cares. He won't leave you hanging. Give your pain to him and trust him. Lord, we are human beings and we hurt each other and we are hurt. Most of the time, the hurt is something that's not that monumental, but sometimes it is. Couples break up because they hurt each other. People that are friends for a long time won't talk to each other for years because they hurt each other. We hurt our loved ones, they hurt us. Thank you for your grace. If you wanted to be hurt, if you wanted to wallow in hurt, you could. How often do we hurt you? But you forgive. Help us too, Lord, to handle our hurt in a way that honors you. And help us, Lord, to run our race. There will become a time, maybe soon, when there'll be no more work, no more running. There's work to be done. Help us to focus on the task at hand, Lord, and trust you to heal us along the way. We love you. You are so kind and good to your children. We cannot praise you enough. In your name, amen.